Live from Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk, hosted by Byron Jones and Victor Orocho. Brought to you by The Sportscast. Today is Cinco de Mayo. Happy Cinco de Mayo, Byron.
Cinco de Mayo. Yeah. I'm going to have a margarita after this.
You go and do that. I'm going to go have me some iced tea. If you haven't yet, please subscribe to The Sportscast on all your channels, YouTube, Twitter, Spotify, and iTunes. If you are on iTunes, please go to podcast and download the Jersey Boys Sports Talk. We are streaming live now, hopefully, I think it's trying to go, on Facebook and YouTube. I can't really tell yet. Can you, Byron?
I see a recording in the corner.
It says unable to upload live stream. Okay, so there he's going to have problems. So, all right, I think Joe had the same problem last week. I thought it was Joe. But please leave a rating on our podcast. It helps us out tremendously. Subscribe to YouTube, hit the notification button, and let's get it on. So, Byron, now I got through my technical difficulties. What's happening? How's it going?
Everything is wonderful in Pennsylvania.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Weather's nice. It hasn't been raining. Everything is all good in the hood.
They're also making a big mention about the Eagles making a run on the NFC East. What are your thoughts? We're going to get into that a little bit. Let's talk about that draft. But we just text Santiago. No streaming. This happened last week with Joe, right?
Yeah, about a week before.
Oh, last week we were on, yeah.
Last week you went to sleep.
Was I here? No, I was here.
The draft, man.
Come on. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm telling you, bro. It's been long. All right, so let's get it on now. You brought some good stuff up, and I got to download them now since you don't like using your technical pieces. And so we're going to go. I like what you have here. We're going to talk about the Giants draft picks, Washington Commanders draft picks, Dallas picks, Philly picks. And for our Jersey, New York Jet fans and Joe Capra, we're going to do the NFL draft picks for the Jets, which is a lot of talk about. You got some power ratings and some other stuff. We'll see what we get going from there. So can you bring up your – oh, no, I don't get you to. You may need to bring up your piece, bro, because my internet has been terrible all day. Jeez. As you're doing it. So first of all, if you had to rank the NFC, let's do this while you're doing your stuff and I'm trying to do mine. If you had to rank the NFC's drafts, right, what order would you put them in? You know how you've been putting everything else in order.
The Jets were first.
No, I said NFC East.
Oh, the NFC? The Eagles.
Really? The Eagles surpassed the Giants? That's why they've been talking a lot about the Eagles.
Yeah, because the Eagles made that big trade with A.J. Brown during the draft. Mm-hmm. And that was that's what pushed them over the top.
Really?
Yes.
So tell me, all right, well, let's get to it. We're talking about Philly. Let's get into Philly. If you're going to talk about Philly's number one first. So then tell me what A.J. Brown, right?
From the Tennessee Titans.
Right. He was a receiver, no?
Very good receiver.
Okay. And the Eagles traded for him.
Yes. During the draft. They traded one of their picks, one of their first round picks, and a next year's pick to obtain this guy.
Okay. And you think, and what makes that so big?
Because now they have no excuse for Jalen Hurts to be a very good receiver, a good quarterback, because now they got A.J. Brown, who's a very good receiver, and Devontae Smith on the other side.
Okay. All right. And who's the running back?
They go running back by committee. So they got a bunch of different running backs. And they usually have the giant killer, which is Boston Scott, is always killing. Because Miles Sanders is one of the running backs from Penn State. The Howard guy is another running back that they got from Chicago Bears and Boston Scott. And of course, you have Jalen Hurts, who can also run the ball.
So, okay, so I'm going to pull down the drafts that you get. We got you. You want to do Philly first? So I can get them.
Philly first. All
right. All right, let's go. I'm pulling Philly down. I'll pull them all down as we're talking about. Right. So, Phil, yeah, because they've been talking about everything was about rising in the NFC East.
Well, they gave them, they were ranked number three as far as, you know, the, their draft.
Right.
After the draft, they gave them an A+, you know, for, you know, what they've gotten. You know, for, where are we now? Philadelphia?
Yeah, we're on Philadelphia. I got round one, but you said from Houston via Cleveland. So this was a trade?
Yeah.
They traded their first round for this tackle.
Yes.
And then.
See, this is what happened, is that they were going to go select a receiver. Like, what, I forgot whatever the receiver was before them. And I guess somebody pulled a punch before them and got that guy. And then all of a sudden, I guess this was like a hurry up fallback kind of pick. And he was still available.
And is he good?
He's huge. Just remember, this is a guy that's like 6'7", 340, 350 pounds. Ran a 4.7 40, as big as he is.
Yeah.
He was the Outland and the Lombardi Trophy winner. He had like 32 tackles for the whole year. You know, he's supposed to be like the immovable force and object on the defensive line. So he's supposed to be, you know, he's supposed to be pretty good. But I see him as like a just a two-down player. He, you know, as far as pass rush, no. Nah.
Really? All right. Yeah. So I had to get my headsets on for you. They got a linebacker, another Georgia boy.
But he was like the undisputed leader of the team. The Kobe Dean, I had him going in the first round. But for some reason, you know, they said between the injuries and, you know, him being hurt, him not having surgery, him doing this, him being kind of small, he fell to the third round.
Yeah. And I think it's also needs, right? Like, everyone was looking at different needs.
But still, he should, you know, he was the undisputed leader. You know, I think he was the Butkus Award winner. He was that, you know, he ran the ship. He was the captain of that defense. And
right. By but him, a lot of players got picked before him, no?
Yeah, Tom, you figure 83 players, you know, 82 got picked before him. You know, he shouldn't have felt like that. You know, they said he got a bad shoulder. You know,
no, I meant a lot of Georgia defensive players got picked for him.
Yeah, a few. Yeah. You know, figure Trayvon Walker, the number one guy. Devontae Wyatt, another guy. This one here got, you know, Jordan Davis getting picked. They have 15 guys got drafted. That's not unheard of, Georgia. That's a lot. That's a lot.
That program has been building for years, bro.
It's a one-hit wonder. Stop it.
Nah, they were in a championship before. They just lost.
They ain't won a championship since 1980, Herschel Walker.
All right, so who they get here? They got another linebacker. So they're all right, so they got the receiver from a trade for offense. They've been building up their defense, and then they got this guy from SMU. I'm not a big SMU guy.
Yeah, he's all right as a tight end, you know. Pass catching tight end, so they can match him up with Dallas Goedert, the tight end they have now. So they just want, you know, they've always had two tight ends, but he'd just be the second guy. And then the round two guy, Cameron Jurgens from the center from Nebraska, that's insurance for Jason Kelce, because this is going to be his last year, you know, playing with Philadelphia. So he's the heir apparent to take over the center.
Oh, I get it. And so you got the Eagles get bonus points for Howie Roseman?
Who?
You said Eagles get
They're saying, you know, the reason why they got, you know, the A+ because they pulled off a trade for, you know, A.J. Brown from the Tennessee Titans to help Jalen Hurts. He also got a $100 million contract when he signed with Philadelphia Eagles because he was looking to get paid. He was one of those guys that, you know, he's been good, you know, last couple of years, and he was looking to get paid. And I guess Tennessee wasn't going to give him all that money. All they did was they traded him, and they picked the kid from Arkansas, Treylon Burks. Pretty much, right. You know, all right, trade him, pick another young guy that's just as big or, you know, and replace him at a cheaper salary. That's all that was.
All right, so let's see what happens there. All right, so then let's go to our boys who did well, right? I think Giants are good. Well, we got you know, my favorite, Thibodeau, right? That guy, you know, if he's as good as all you guys were saying, and Caprell says he's the next LT, which, you know, that's a hard comparison. Take him.
Just so you know, he's in negotiation to get number 5 right now. Because he wants number 5 that he wore in college, and Graham Gano wears number 5, and the price started at $250,000.
Who's Graham Gano?
He's the kicker for the Giants. He wears number 5 now.
Okay, so who's paying the $250,000?
Thibodeau has to pay. You know, they're negotiating. You know, to see if he, you know, if the veteran's going to give up his number.
And the veteran's going to sell it to his fellow player.
Yes.
That's how that works?
That's how that works.
Really?
Yeah, you know, hey, if he wants it, he'll pay for it.
I'm trying to see if I can change him. If he wants it, he'll pay for it.
Yep.
Interesting. I don't know. That seems weird to me, but.
No, they do it all the time. It happens all the time. You just don't know about it. Or to just cut the guy and give the guy the number. One way or another, he's going to get the number. But now I got to cut, you know, the kicker's pretty good. Ain't cutting now.
I just think it's funny because it's the kicker. I mean, I can see if it was. I don't know. I just think it's funny. Like then the kicker.
Yeah. And then we have our right tackle. Evan Neal is going to be right tackle.
Good with that. I'm good with the picks. I'm good. Okay, this wide receiver, I didn't get that far. That's why I want to go to bed. So we got
Wandell Robinson. He's about like 5'8", like 190 pound. Very, you know, very fast, very strong receiver. Something they need. You know, people are going to kick me in the butt for this one because he's a slot receiver, just like who do we already have? Tony and Shepard. But are they reliable? That's the problem.
Right.
So he's picking the insurance.
He's out of Kentucky, so we'll see what happens there.
He's pretty good. He had 104 catches last year. He's pretty good.
All right, so then we got guard. We got another guard, which is good.
He might be the star. He might be the left. Yeah, he might be the left guard.
We picked up a hurricane. All right, I'll take that. We got a quarterback. No, not a hurricane. Oh, he traded him from Miami. He's from LSU. All right. We got from my aunt from Chicago, a tight end. All right, we got another tight end. All right, I kind of like these at least position players.
Well, he's a safety, and he's a blocker. He can block. And
Daniel.
And guess who they're comparing him to? As far as you know, maybe he could turn out to be George Kittle, the tight end from the 49ers.
Oh, how could they compare this guy from Chicago?
That's what they're doing. They're comparing.
I mean, let me tell you, San Diego State produces some good football players, but he was at Chicago. I mean, what did he do at Chicago?
What did he do with Chicago? Oh, the pick was traded from Chicago.
So we picked him. So he's a rookie. He's drafted from San Diego. Okay, got it.
He's ours. He's ours.
Got it. Okay. So all these picks are from Atlanta. We traded to get these people.
Right. Yep.
Okay. All right. Good. All right. Then number 14, we got a safety. We got a linebacker. Defensive tackle.
Don't be surprised if McFadden, the kid from Indiana, is not starting.
Really?
Yes.
Is not starting or is
that will be starting? Don't be surprised. Okay. He's a starter. He's very good.
Another defensive tackle. Okay, another guard.
They needed a runner. They needed somebody, you know, as far as a nose tackle. So this kid is 327 pounds from Arizona State.
Yeah. But you agree the lower the rounds, the harder it is to make the team, right? So yeah. Let's hope they can move some of these people. Well, first of all, like we've said, and other people have said too, the Giants need a whole overhaul, right? A whole overhaul, right? So if that's true, then maybe these kids can do it, right? If this is the other guy ain't playing, I'll take any player that wants to play.
All these picks that they are for a need, every last one of them.
Yep.
So, and even the kid from Alabama, was it Cincinnati, is pretty good too. Darian Beavers, big linebacker. He can play inside and he can rush from the edge. So he's pretty. He'll probably make a team too. He has a 6th round pick.
So these are 11 picks.
And they signed a ton of undrafted free agents though. Like, I think 11 or 12. And one of them, I don't know if you remember, Chris Hinton, he used to play for the Baltimore Colts. His son, we signed as a free agent, as a defensive tackle.
Okay, this is good. I'm happy with these picks. I told you I was happy with the draft. That was why I'm glad I was able to go to bed.
You only made it to the second. You didn't make it to the second round.
I made it to the players I wanted, right? I made it to Thibodeau and Neil.
I've watched all 3 days.
Yeah, that's good for you. All right, so now we got Dallas. What did you give Dallas? You gave Dallas an A, too. Okay.
That was somebody else give Dallas an A. I would never give Dallas an A.
You put grade A on your paper.
Oh, that's what they gave him, a grade A. But you see who's at the top.
Oh, this was in your decision. Oh,
There you go. You see the top, the number one pick for them? Where are you from?
Tulsa, Oklahoma. Oh, and I just signed a client from Oklahoma City.
Well, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to start beating them upside the head about this kid was the most penalized lineman in all of SBF football. So he's going to be a work in progress because he holds a lot, which the Dallas Cowboys, you know, should be used to because they already do have a bunch of guys that, you know, hold. So he'll fit in right perfectly with them.
Okay.
Even though he's a fellow TU guy, so I can't bash him too much.
And then you got Sam Williams from Ole Miss. I like Ole Miss. You got a linebacker.
He's an edge rusher to replace, you know, Randy Gregory that left. And he's a one-trick pony. He can rush the passer, but don't expect him to stop the run.
They picked up another wide receiver and a tight end.
Tolbert, 4.3 speed, fast, kind of tall, lanky.
Wow.
The tight end's pretty good.
4.3 speed. Oh, hold on 1 second. 4.3 speeding, and he got picked in the 3rd round?
Yeah, he's a reach, man. It's Jerry Jones' reach. He reached.
4.3.
Yeah, but still, he's a work in progress.
Thing we didn't have a bunch of guests on, we would have been a disaster. I just don't think 4.3 speed, you can't teach speed, you know that.
He's still from, look where he went, South Alabama. That says it all.
Hey, some of those schools are pretty good. Yeah, Fresno State quarterback, linebacker. Oh, so they didn't do too much offense.
No,
they went all defense,
like he did last time, all defense. Yeah. Well.
Yeah. All right, let's get here. Let's go to the next one. Sorry, folks. Today's a little crazy show, so we're kind of like up and down. I can't get my energy level up. It's a technology problem, so I do apologize. This happens to ESPN, too. So,
all right, Washington Commanders.
Got you. All right, number one, they picked Julian Dotson, wide receiver.
He was a reach.
Who's their quarterback?
Wentz.
Wentz. Oh, All right, so you got Dotson. They got a D tackle, another Alabama. Wow, they went back to back Alabama.
Even though they didn't need a Brian Robinson, they really didn't, you know, need him, but you know, they picked him anyway.
They got a safety. They got Sam Howell, quarterback.
Yeah, this guy was considered a first round pick, you know, prior to this year. He fell all the way to the fifth round, but he'd probably make the team, and he might end up being a starter one day.
Where did the guy from Liberty fall? Khalil Mack?
Third round.
He went to third round. Wow. Yeah. Sam Howell, QB, picked up a tight end. Another Tulsa boy.
There you go. Another man. Tulsa rocked the house.
Yeah, defense. So let's see what they got. They got receiver, quarterback.
And they're great. So they
went heavy offense.
Yeah, well, they need to. Carson Wentz needs all the help he can get. And their grade was a C-.
Yeah, but that was you giving it. I thought it was you giving it.
I've been giving a C- anyway.
You would have given him a C-, huh? Yeah. All right, well, let's go with the one that everybody's talking about. This is for my boys, Richie Vargas and Christina Planis is here in Florida. Is a Jet fan. How? I don't understand. The Jets are the talk of the town as it relates to the draft. So I've always seen people saying how well people did the draft. This year seems to be like it's been highlighted how well like some teams really, really did.
And Jets were one of them. They did really, really well.
Okay. So what do you think that's going to put them in their conference? They got a Florida State boy. All right. Another one.
He's the one that fell. He was supposed to have been a top 10 pick, and he fell all the way down to 26. And the running back should have been he was a first round talent, and they picked him up. Breece Hall, the guy from Iowa State.
Gotcha. Oh, he's still the first round. So you're first right. round. You're good.
No, he's second round.
Jermaine. This is round one, Jermaine.
I'm talking about Breece Hall.
You skipped over. You know, I'm going to stick with the Noles. All right, so then they got tight end. This is it. So what do you think this is going to do for the team in the conference, though? I mean, at the end of the day, that's what matters. Right? So, you know, here's the picks. Yeah, congratulations to the Jets and the Jets fans and our fans out there, Jet fans. All right, so let me try to get some energy going here. I'm tired. So from the Jets' perspective, right, how's that going to affect them compared? I heard the Patriots didn't do too well, though.
The Patriots reached for some guy from Tennessee, Chattanooga, Cole Strange. Everybody, as soon as they called his name, like, who? He wasn't even on the radar for anybody until, like, you know, third or fourth round.
Well, that could be scary or it could be dumb, one or the other, because you never know with Belichick.
Well, put it this way. What's his name? Sean McVay had a good chuckle about the pick.
Oh my God, that's right! I forgot. I only saw a part of that, and the sports announcers were saying, you know, did you ever think there would be a day that someone will make a comment like that about Belichick? And what happened there?
It was live. They were going through the pick, and then he says, "All right, the New England Patriots pick Cole Strange," I guess McVay was like, "What? Who?" Whoa, yo, we didn't even think about this guy until like later in the day. And they started busting out laughing. Him and the general manager were laughing like crazy.
They also said when you win a Super Bowl, you know, it's a little easier for you to do that against Belichick. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, Belichick's got eight of them. So, you know, how much can you really talk?
No, there's no doubt. Sean McVay, clarify his comments about Patriots first round. At least I guess we got internet out here. Something's happening in my room. Well, actually, I got nothing. Nothing happening. Yeah. So what do you think, you know, all the buzz and all this talk, let's start with just the Jets first, all the buzz about the Jets doing so great in the pick. That's awesome. So you did a great job in the pick, but you don't play in the NFL for your picks, right? You play to win. How is that going to affect them in the conference?
Who's the big dog? Who's the big dog in that conference, the East?
Buffalo.
Until they knock off Buffalo, they still want to be a lower level team. They got to be.
So let's leave Buffalo alone. You still got the Patriots and the Dolphins.
Yeah, so that still leaves them in fourth place.
All right. So do you, how long do you think having, you know, all this buzz about a great first round, a great draft for the Jets is going to take them to make an impact to move out of the cellar?
It depends. If Miami, if Tua, performs, because he might be on his way out the door. New England is New England, and Buffalo is, they're loading up, to make another run for Super Bowl. And, the Jets, who knows? They had a good – but they got to perform on the field. That's the problem. But, it's all based on what everybody else does.
Yeah. All right. I mean, that's a fair point, but it goes back to the reality, you enjoy the moment. You still got to deliver, right? I'm happy with the Giants pick, and I'm happy – as I just think our conference is up for grabs right now. There's no dominant team in there, right? Oh. People may argue that Dallas is the dominant team, but I would disagree. I disagree, right? I disagree. I think there's always something that can happen once the other teams get a little better.
Well, and let's bring this up for real quick as far as this. I sent you the thing with the strength of schedules, and you see where we are.
All right, hold on. Yes, you did.
So at the bottom, let's see. Washington here. Commanders are tied for 31 with the Dallas Cowboys.
Then the hold on. Where do you want me to go? Because I have it up.
No, I'm just saying toward at the bottom.
All right, so I'm here.
This is a strength of schedule for the upcoming year. It goes from the hardest schedule to the easiest. So the Washington Commanders have the easiest, and then the Dallas Cowboys easy, Philadelphia easy, and then the Giants, because we suck so bad in the East.
Right, but that goes back to my point that if the four teams in this, in fact, the weakest schedules belong all to the NFC East.
Yes.
Okay, which I don't know, maybe I'm missing something, but that just says to me that what makes the conference up. Yeah, but right now, yes. Like, you cannot deny that. But that also makes the conference up for grabs.
Yes, it does, but we still suck.
So what?
We still suck.
Okay, what's that got to do with winning the conference?
Because it's going to be a battle of attrition. Hopefully, it won't be the same thing like it was. Whoever has six wins at the end of the year, they win the conference.
Or Dallas seven. Didn't have six wins.
I'm just throwing a number out there in general.
I got you, but as long as they have a winning season and they win the conference, you know how that is. I just think you need momentum. You need positivity, right? I mean, we have not had a lot to celebrate for. For a while.
Oh, 10 years. Well, since 2016, when they went to the playoff. 16, they went to the playoff.
Hey, Dallas, and I always think they're not as good as they are, and I truly believe that's true. But, they at least, win games, put up big numbers. You know what I mean? That's something, right?
Yeah, but when you look at the Dallas Cowboys with their schedule, they beat, we've been saying, they beat up on the East. And then when they play the real big boys, they got a losing record. Like, I think against what I saw today, they're saying like Dallas is 25-3, in the big, in our conference. But then outside of playing real teams, they're 8-17.
Man, if they're 25-3, that means they've been beating our conference for a long time.
Yeah. But then when they step up in competition, they always lose.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying to you, that the difference between having the Eagles and the Giants having good drafts, right? It helped our draft. The success of the drafts of the NFC East, in my opinion, and my experience of watching the Giants and the NFC East for years, is that changes the dynamic of that conference, which it could be up for anybody. Because, it, you know, we're what do we lose by 2 points to Dallas last year, right? And then and Washington's can be always tough. I mean, the Eagles, you know, I don't think that they're if the Eagles and the Giants have good draft picks of what I believe we see, that to me makes the difference on, you know, splitting games with Dallas in a best case or worst case scenario. Is that fair? And that changes their record, and that means it's up for anybody. I just don't think they're going to dominate, you know, if our players deliver and we build around what we did. I just think we've been a better team than our record showed over the last
What? What team have you been watching?
I mean, Byron, how many games did we lose by 3 points?
How many did we lose at the end of the year? 6 in a row.
How many did we lose by 3 points?
Not many. Most of them, they got their butt kicked.
And I stand corrected. I just think that there were times that we should have won, and just that we're a game away from that one. A game away, a bad play from here.
I'm going to start again. I'm going to do like I usually do.
Go.
We're going to win because of Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones was out the last six games last year with no help, no nothing. And this year, he has no excuse. As long as those guys don't get hurt and the offensive line is fixed, he has no excuse. Daniel Jones, again, I'm going to say it again, is going to be a star.
Okay. So just looking at your strength of schedule, which is pretty interesting to me, though, here's some teams that I think are good, that their schedule isn't that difficult, which is going to help them. So I got Tennessee with a 20 at number tied for 24. That kind of helps them. They're a pretty good team. Baltimore's a pretty good team. Look at Green Bay. Green Bay stretch of schedules.
That's where Malik Willis went to Tennessee.
Okay, Malik Willis went to Tennessee. You got the Ravens, got a weaker schedule. The Dolphins, you know, which kind of helps them out in the NFC East. Where are the Jets? Jets got a tougher schedule than the Dolphins.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Jets are kind of in the middle.
Yeah, it was 17, yeah. And then New England, Broncos. Look at Buffalo's at 12, though.
In the middle.
Yeah, but they're a good team. I'm just saying to you, they're a really good team. Then you got Seattle's at 11. That's going to be rough for them.
Yeah, especially with no Russell Wilson.
And it's going to be rough for the Panthers. It's going to be rough for Atlanta.
Rough for the Saints?
It's going to be rough for the Saints. I think Kansas City's okay. L.A. is not so bad. The rest of it is, you know, those are players. They're good teams. They're going to play. You know what I mean? Whatever its toughest schedule is, the Rams are, you know, whether they have a tough schedule or not, they're going to play well. It's just some of those middle guys have, you know, the Chargers are all the way down.
Number 10.
Oh, yeah, that's it. It's not so bad. Cleveland Browns are down. That's going to be an interesting mix. But I just can't believe Green Bay is 22. 23 is the Ravens. I guess it's impossible, right? I mean,
yeah, but you have how was Dallas Cowboys way at the bottom as far as getting the easiest schedule? How is that possible? And it happens all the time. This is not just next year. It happens all the time. Is the fix?
You would think their schedule, their schedule should be harder than. I mean,
if they were toward the middle, they won the conference last year. I mean, the East. So you think they should be higher than that? Yeah, but they're not.
And what was the record? Didn't they have more than 10 wins?
What, 11?
Like 12 and 5 or 11?
I don't know.
Cowboys. Okay. They also been pretty quiet, man. Dallas owner Jones reportedly sent to hospital after he had a car crash.
Yeah.
Is he okay?
He's fine.
Record. Let's go record. Now my internet at least is deciding where. That That's sad. They've won that many games in the NFC East, and their records has been nine since 2017, 9-7, 10-6, 8-8, 6-10.
What were they last year?
That's what I'm trying to find. The record, that's 2001, right?
Yeah, 2021.
Twelve and five.
Yeah, and look where they are in the schedule. Look, way at the bottom.
12-5, and they got the weakest schedule.
That's the great. The fix is there.
And that's what makes them look like they're, you know, oh my God, they're Super Bowl contenders. And then they have a schedule like this. That's ridiculous.
The fix is in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. Right now, I'm enjoying the NBA. You watching any NBA?
No, not since Embiid is out, so that ain't worth the bother.
Well, you know, I like Miami Heat winning. I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah. I want them to go to the championship. Who do you like in the East? And who's like? Oh, I'm glad KD's out too.
Who?
Kevin Durant, the Nets.
Who's he?
The Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant.
Yeah, I know. I'm just being funny. Yeah.
I can't tell. Really? I can't see. We're doing this podcast on my phone. Yeah, Brooklyn is out, and I think I like Golden State. I want to see Chris Paul win, but you know it's hard to.
They're killing State. James Harden around here, though. Woo, man, they are killing him.
Tell me what's going on with King James. What are they saying?
They're saying the crossover that he always, the little thing he does, the dribbling. He dribbles the ball for like 25 seconds and realize he can't get the shot. Oh yeah, here you go, throws his next guy. Next guy, he got to hoist up an air ball or whatever. He's not explosive, the way he used to be. He's doing a European hop, skip, and a jump. Instead of them calling walk like they're supposed to, he's doing the European way. Taking like 900 steps, and he's been they're beating him up because he's supposed to get $47 million next year. They're like, oh no. He's 32 years old, and he's like he didn't age 10 years, in Philadelphia, and they're not going to keep him. He's done around.
I think like Kevin Durant to come back off that injury last year and play like he did was phenomenal. Okay. I don't like these guys built trying. I think the super teams that they keep trying to build now are now going away. Does that make sense? Like the coaches are starting to figure out, well, let me develop what I have. Because, the Heat, between the Heat and Golden State, they both have like homegrown drafted players, right? And they continue, and they add their pieces, don't get me wrong, but the core is still there.
And yeah, but all them other guys all them other guys that are with the super teams and bouncer, all of them in their 30s, every last one of them. So, naturally, it's got to come to an end of one time, or another. But, most of these guys are about, the KDs, the LeBrons, and, all these guys that are going to different teams, building these teams, they're all older now. That stuff don't work anymore.
That's why, one, I think KD should have never left Golden State. I think LeBron should have never left Miami. I don't know if he cares or how he feels about the Jordan talk or not, and whether he is better or not. I don't think so. But, I think he would have had a better chance if he had more championships. And I think he would have had more championships if he stayed with the Heat. It's my opinion. And then everyone will argue, Chris Bosh went out, Dwayne Wade was getting older, the team was changing. Like, what's the difference of you bringing people to – players want to play in Miami. They want to play for Riley. Right? That's an incredible organization. Riley already – and Spoelstra's a great coach. Got them back to the playoffs against LeBron. And now they're back in it again. So they would have built around LeBron. How long has LeBron been gone? He's been gone for a while. You think Riley would have taken that long to build around a LeBron. You think players wouldn't want to come to LeBron? He probably just didn't get along with Riley or Spoelstra. But that's why.
But when he got out to Los Angeles, he pretty much handpicked those guys that are on the team right now. And what they all do? AD fell apart. Russell, Westbrook, whatever
Wilson,
his name is.
Wilson.
Throws up bricks all over the place. He's off. And he picked these guys. He went, hey, come on, play. You know, let's get a team out here. Come on, you know, let's come on. And what happened? They all fell apart. All of them.
And look at all the players that they got rid of that are doing well.
Yeah, all over the NBA.
All over the NBA, they're doing well, you know. But, again, nobody likes a team that wins so much, right? But or they get mad when it's not their team. It's just that when you see these players that are that great and they're able to pick players and move them around, stay at the same team.
No
like,
loyalty.
Where's his loyalty going to be? Where are they going to love him at? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, we love Dwayne Wade here. We love Chris Bosh here. We love Udonis. I mean, you know, this is their home. I don't know. I guess Cleveland, he'll always be able to call his home because he won a championship and he was great there. It ain't the same as in Miami, you know, or it ain't. That's all. That's in my opinion. And I think Spoelstra and the Heat are going to do a great job. All right. Well, you know, I'm sorry to our fans that we had kind of major technical difficulties today. We'll pick it up next week. And we'll probably have some more guests. We'll have some guests coming on because some of them were on a little bit of a hiatus. Congratulations to the Jets. And hope you do something with it. I still think, you know, I'm going to stick with my Giants until I feel there's a team that's that good in that conference just to be dominant. And remember the Gary Sinise Foundation, please. It's GarySinise.org. Prayers out for those in the Ukraine. And a shout out and a prayer to the family of Devin Baez from Perth Amboy. Are you familiar, Byron? That's one of the Jimenez's family members. She was like 30 years old and she passed away. Either it's like something with her blood or so forth.
Wow.
Still breaks my heart today. So, you know, I just, you know, condolences to the family of Devin Baez, Mimi, the Jimenez family, the Baez family, anybody and everybody's related. I see that picture, 30 years old, beautiful lady, beautiful young woman. You know, I have a daughter and I just couldn't imagine. So our prayers are with you. You know, the Jersey Boys Sports Talk, two boys from Amboy. You are in our prayers. And I'm really, really heartbroken for you, Mimi, and your family. All right, well, Byron, stay tuned next week. We got to pick this up, get something going on, get some real talk happening. And let's see what we got.
Depth chart next week.
Yeah, we're gonna do the depth chart next week. Hopefully I'll have better internet. They give me a credit. Definitely. All right, brother. We'll talk soon. Good night. Peace.
Good night.